Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is offering bonus content to Fable and Folly Plus supporters, including character creation and how-to-play episodes, plus cast and crew outtakes, all still entirely ad-free. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Omniverse.
The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program contains content that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Visit CthulhuMystery.com and head to Patreon.com/OmniverseMedia to join our community of fans and unlock further secrets.
Do you hear that? In the cruel blackness of night, an unknowable evil from beyond time cries out. What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Top Hat Cigarettes bring you part 3 of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Tonight's strange story, Divide and Conquer. If you find yourself at a crossroads when choosing a brand of cigarettes, why not pick the best dressed? Top Hat cigarettes are flavorful and clean smoking. None of that peppery dust causing dry mouth and sore throat. After toasting, Top Hat cigarettes undergo our unique cold ammonia process, ensuring that every puff is a pleasure and keeps your lungs dapper as a dandy. Just ask any doctor of medicine, or better still, ask Dr. Gide Munoz, an expert in the field of virility and life extension, who says,
I prescribe all my patients take up smoking Top Hat cigarettes. Their unique ammonia additive doesn't just make for a cleaner smoking experience. It keeps their bodies youthful and virile, and their minds sharp. Plus, I love the taste. I could smoke 2 at a time. Sometimes I do.
Smoke to your health, and do it in style with Top Hat cigarettes. Following the mysterious murder of Hannah Pickering, her housemates have been conscripted by Arkham Police Detective Harden to see if they can discover any leads. Ex-federal agent Sam Spade heads the novice task force, and together they travel to the site of Miss Pickering's murder, a rural roadside near the city dump, where, not 12 hours prior, the discovery of her desecrated body shook a young police officer to his very core. Meanwhile, the crazed Bible salesman Father Grandfather has run off to conduct his own investigation and prove his mad theory that it was a demon who struck the poor girl down.
You guys are all hopping in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Spade's getting driven out of the dump, and the rest of you guys are swinging back.
We're going to the morgue first, and then we're going to go to the address.
Okay, so you guys are just going to go to the morgue together.
Hank and Spade are going to the dump.
And we're going to the morgue, and then we're going to the address.
The dump's the furthest away, because that's like out of town.
Right.
When you guys make your way out there, this is, you know, way out on the north side of the town. North Garrison Street is the street where they found her body. As you guys drive out, you guys see the turnoff to go towards where the dump is. There's a big oak tree kind of right near that fork, and something scrawled on the oak tree. It looks like chalk. Outside of that, up the road a piece, not too far, is a farmhouse. That's kind of what you guys see in the immediate area.
The chalk thing.
Okay. I mean, you guys can stop.
Is it just like a construction marker? Or is it
yeah. I mean, it basically looks like just a circle mark. Somebody's kind of marked off with it. Looking kind of at the base of the tree area, this looks like this is probably the scene of the crime that they've been referring to. And that looks like probably where it's marked off. You guys are guessing you're just going to hop out, kind of take a quick look at it?
Yeah. If this is a starting point, we can get to work.
So they're going to drop you two off. You guys can walk the rest of the way to the dump, and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to roll for occult here. Okay. I got a 76, unfortunately, on my occult 26, because I know that Haitian voodoo rituals, often a tree is used as a crossroads, if the chalk meant anything, but if it's an indication of a crime scene, then I guess it's nothing.
Yeah, you're looking at it, you don't get too much off of it, you figure, it doesn't look like a voodoo place in this case, but you're not sure.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Okay, so the two of you guys drive back to town. Meanwhile, Hank Jr. and Agent Spade. You guys look over the crime scene?
Yeah, I can start looking at the crime scene. If you start looking around for tracks, where she came from, where she was going, if there's other footsteps, you know what you're looking for.
Let's see what we see. 30, and my track is 50.
Well, you look around. You're kind of paying attention to the ground particularly. After about a good 20 minutes of kind of like appraising the area, a lot of the area is kind of disturbed because of where they came in, got the body and everything. But from what you can see, you see what are probably her tracks, which look erratic, coming to a rest where the main place has been disturbed, where her body is. Most of the other tracks that you see are coming from the roadside, which would probably be police, coroner, whatever. You don't see any other tracks besides that.
Nothing weird other than that just sticks out?
No, you don't seem to see anything.
Okay.
Both of you guys make either a cult... anthropology or history roll?
Well, I got a 67 for my searching around.
Okay.
That was the spot hidden. 86 for my occult. Failed.
I don't have anything in any of that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can always roll luck. Lucky. And, you
know, okay, yeah, let's roll
luck. Well, sorry, I mean, you know, just roll to get lucky. Have, so even stuff you have 1% in, you can sometimes
I have 99
succeed.
In accounting. I don't know what I'm going to use that for.
So I just need to roll against my luck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what you got there.
75 out of a luck of 80.
You don't really see anything like that, but you're kind of checking this place out, and you think if anyone else was here, it might have been tracked over. But you got a sense that it really was only the cops, coroners, and everything.
Okay.
I don't
get the sense that there was another party involved.
Not at all.
Okay. So that's weird.
And now you don't even see animal tracks.
Right. Okay.
So this is out by the dump. This is what they mean by out by the dump. Is this tree?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, basically, this tree's out by the dump. The dump's a little further up the road, if you guys wanted to go check it out.
Check out the dump itself?
Yeah.
Do the tracks give us any reason to go to the dump?
The tracks come from them, or was it
No. Okay. She was kind of walking from Arkham.
Okay.
Towards the dump?
Potentially. I mean, she's just a little shy of it. If the dump is north of town, and there's this main road coming out of it, she died just before the turnoff into where the dump would be.
Can you retrace her steps as if she was actually walking? He could actually step in her steps. And
okay, well,
how does it look like she's walking?
Well, the two of you guys kind of work on this for a while. What you're getting a sense of is her trail seems to have been coming from Arkham to the south. Occasionally you lose it because she walks off into the street, which is corroborates the story of the people that had seen her last night around 11 or so. Basically, from what you guys can see, I mean, you guys lose track of it after a while because of her wandering on and off the blacktop, but she had just been wandering erratically north.
So she wasn't heading towards the dump or any particular direction. She was just kind of...
It's hard to tell.
It looks like she was just kind of drunk out of her gourd and just hovering around. Like, how big is the blood stains? Anything like that?
There's a fair amount of blood, but not as much as you would expect from the way everyone's described it.
The way she would have been like laying down on the ground, is she like, does it look like she started to run, like she was being chased and then she was attacked and thrown down on the ground? Or
doesn't seem to be. A lot of disturbing around where the body is, but it's hard to tell whether that was, whether it was her being attacked or her just being moved afterwards or something, but you don't see anything that really makes that clear.
Is she up against the tree or by the tree?
By the tree. as you're like looking around at the tree and everywhere, you can kind of see through like the lightly wooded fields. You can see the part of the dump at the distance from here. I mean, it's not that far away. The other thing you can see, there's also a farmhouse up the road a little bit.
Is what's closer, the dump or the farmhouse?
The farmhouse is a little bit closer.
Farmhouse.
And that's on the main road.
I'm thirsty. Maybe they have some iced tea.
Meanwhile, Father Grandfather has run up to the esteemed Halicott abode, which is got a delightful white picket fence in front of it. It's painted a tasteful yellow.
Wow, how lovely.
Yep, it is truly a lovely home.
I go up to the door, knock, knock. I say knock, knock. I don't actually knock. I go, knock, knock. What the fuck's wrong with me?
I don't know.
People so stop
you,
me.
You talk to the door for a while.
We've been trying.
And then eventually the door opens and there's a nice old woman. Maybe she's, you know, in her late 50s, early 60s. She says, what can I do for you, my son?
Why, hello, wonderful woman. Have you seen Mr. Halibut? Haricot? Halaman.
Heatman. 60-year-old man at my door. What can I do for you, my son?
Halicott? What, are you looking to speak to my son?
Ah, yes. The officer, yes. You see, I'm helping investigate the evil that's permeating this town, and I was told that he had some answers for me.
And who are you, sir?
I am a humble Bible salesman. As you can see, I'm a good person. I sell the word of the Lord, and right now I'm investigating the evil that the Lord wants me to stop.
I see. Okay.
So if you lead me to him, I will have a friendly banter with him, and we will get along just fine.
She seems a little confused at what you're asking, but your persuade's like 99%.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll that.
Watch me at 164.
Okay, so she is confused, but you do sell Bibles, so obviously you can't be up to no good. That's.
Oh, I'm a very good person.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 62 years.
Exactly. So, as a Bible salesman who would never harm a woman or anything, she lets you in. And it says,
a Bible salesman with a black eye, I might add.
You're all falling on hard times.
Here, come with me. My son, he's in his room.
My son.
She leads you back to speak with Officer Halicott. When she opens the door to the room, he's sitting there on the bed. It's a small, single bed. The room itself looks like something a high school kid would have. Like you actually see like a high school football team pennant up on the wall.
How old is this person? Jesus.
He's a cop, right?
Yeah, looks like he's in his early 20s.
Thank you for guiding me here now. Let the men talk for a bit. This might get a bit serious. You know, we have to have a serious debate, so...
No problem, sir. Would you like some tea?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Tea doesn't suit me, thank you.
Coffee, perhaps?
Oh, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Please leave us now.
If you or Edmund need anything, just call.
All right, my son. I lock the door.
Okay. So, Edmund is looking up at you, and he says, who are you?
I am but a simple Bible salesman who the Lord has brought to you today to ask you a few questions. First, have you ever seen a Bible like this before? And I open it up and do my whatever it is. I open it and I pull out a pipe bomb.
No.
So this here thing is a tool from the Lord. It is an explosive device that will take out this entire building. Isn't that crazy?
His eyes go wide.
Now I have some questions for you. Now I advise you answer them, or we're both going to be meeting our makers pretty soon. And I know which one of us is going to be letting into heaven.
Okay, what do you want?
What do you know about the case of the woman who was torn up and got her organs missing and such? Preggers.
Oh God. I didn't
this
know
thing's on a timer, so
okay,
I need
okay.
to stop it.
Listen.
At some point. I mean, I'm an old man. I don't care about dying. I got nothing to lose. But you, man, you just started.
They just called me out to go check up on her, find that lady. She was wandering the streets or something. I went out there. I barely saw her at first, lying on the side of the road, and I stopped. And I went out, and she was just torn open, man.
Anything around that you saw that might help me lead me on the right path, the righteous Lord saw fit to bring me here?
Burt's suitcase.
Oh man, there's only like 2.5 minutes left on this timer, so you better give me something. Something that makes me leave this room.
She's covered in slime. It was disgusting.
Slime? Where would you get covered in slime like that?
Like a giant snail walked on her.
Giant snail walked on her. Where would one get a giant snail in this day and age? Oh man, we only like 2 minutes left on this timer.
Please don't kill me!
Alright, calm down, son. Calm down, son. Now tell me something else, because you got like 1.5 minutes left.
I just cried like a baby.
All right. Crown, you're dead, son. Give me something. All right, I need to roll a check to persuade him to tell me something decent, or like psychology.
Okay.
I'm using reverse psychology. I don't know anything.
Yeah, you can roll psychology.
All right, my psychology is at 75. 92. Man, I hate my fucking rolls. Shit, cock ass.
So, I mean, this kid's a blubbering wreck. Basically, he just, like, after muttering about how he was crying like a baby, he just begins, like, glistening, slime cup, it's disgusting.
Glistening, slime cover.
What happened?
I don't know, but there's only 60 seconds left on this timer, so you better, glistening, slime cover. What does it all mean?
I don't know. Please don't kill me. My mom's in this house.
Oh, your mom's lived to a ripe old age. She won't mind death. Probably a good, sweet release for her at this point. God.
We're gonna make him roll for luck that he stops the bomb.
He never lit it.
I need to ask. You know anything else that might help? You saw the body open. You saw a slime trail. She was glistening. Do you know where she was heading? Do you know what she was doing?
I just listen. Somebody saw her. They were driving down the road, and then I got called out. Like, they just wanted me to check on her, bring her back to the station.
Nobody told you anything.
What? No, they just said some crazy lady's walking down the road, and I went out to find her.
Oh, well, that's annoying. Well, this bomb doesn't really have a timer, so since you're useless, I'm gonna get out of here. Thank you, and may the Lord provide.
God.
I bolt for it.
Oh, God.
I jump through the window.
And then flee back to the house, I'm assuming?
No, I'm gonna probably head to, like, the morgue.
Okay.
Oh, no!
So, meanwhile, in the morgue,
where, you guys go in, there's an attendant there who looks you over, says, is there anything I can do to help you two?
We're here aiding the investigation, Detective Harden's investigation of the unfortunate murder last night.
Oh, okay, yeah. He said you guys would be coming by. Come with me. It's pretty ugly, though.
And as we're walking, I was told that some of her vital organs may have been missing. Do you happen to know?
Yeah. Coroner says looks like her uterus and the majority of her lower digestive tract are all gone.
All right.
Is that the extent of the damage, or is there anything else outside of just that?
It's not pretty. But basically, yeah, she's cracked open pretty good.
Did you check underneath her nails for any kind of sign of struggle, or?
I was there with the coroner when he was taking his notes. He didn't remark anything about it, but I mean, you're certainly welcome to check.
Miss Delaney, have you done this before?
I've heard a lot about it. Detective novels.
So he takes you in, unslabs the body, and displays it out for you. Both of you guys roll your sanity.
I rolled a 97 out of 76.
It's pretty nasty. D4 sanity loss, so here. You want to roll that, or do you want me to?
Ew.
Okay, so you're a little unnerved by...
I'll throw up a little in my mouth.
My sanity is 55, and I rolled a 99.
So that is a D4 for you as well, of sanity loss. And the both of you are pretty unnerved by this, but you guys were expecting it, so it's not life-changingly shocking. But it's gruesome. Her ribs are all cracked open. It almost looks like a bomb went off inside of her.
Like a Maine lobster torn right open.
I think you know one person who has a bomb.
mean, there's no signs of burning or anything, like, so, you know, it's not actually a bomb. You know, who knows?
Well, I think we've seen what we need to see here.
I'm going to check the coroner's notes to see exactly what he wrote down for what was missing.
Roll your library use, which I think you have.
I have 100%.
Okay.
I shoot a glance to Miss Delaney, and I excuse myself out in the hall.
Well, you look over the notes. Yeah, there don't seem to be any signs of struggle. No bruises in the arms, no scars or anything like that. No signs of, you know, blood under the fingernails, nothing like that.
But what about things that are missing? Like, specifically, what organs?
Oh, yeah, basically, she is missing her uterus, the majority of her small intestine, a chunk of her colon, pieces of her stomach, but...
And the lacerations, would they appear to be of, like, an explosion, like, as from internally extruded, or was it more of, like, a ripped open type of...
The coroner's...
How they have it stitched up is probably...
His notes indicate that she... It has the appearance of having been torn open like that. He is marking it off as a bear or possibly a wolf attack.
Validated!
That's his current assumption.
It definitely does not look like a bear attack or like they would have eaten
more. But outside of that, he is open to the possibility that it was done with some sort of serrated knife. He doesn't see the signs of struggle on the body to really put his full faith behind it.
It's too early in the timeline for toxicology.
But her ribs were broken and folded away. So she was, it was,
whoever
it was
did
bad.
This would have had to have some kind of
surgical instrument or the mighty arms of a bear.
She really wouldn't be a bear.
Well, in this country, you have the right to bear arms. Zing.
So, any further corpse touching that you guys want to do?
No, sir.
Somebody say corpse touching.
Nope, I think we're fully done here.
Okay.
Did somebody say corpse touching?
It's like something just exploded out of her, just like, bam. I'm going to... While she ain't looking, you know, take a pill out of my pocket and just, you know, chomp a bit off of it. Just a corner.
Okay. Well, you just take a corner, knowing your delicate physique, and promptly find you're feeling much better about this whole thing. There is much less sense of menace to the world.
But it still doesn't make very much sense. I mean,
why... You are a bold lady. I put my arm around her. No, seriously, though. I mean, I've never seen a dame swoop right in there. Oh, dead body, let me read about it. You're something. You're something, kid.
I have to keep a moment of composure about myself, or else I might lose my temper and you only. I keep adjusting my glasses like you can hear it over the radio.
She has been adjusting her glasses like crazy. Begging your pardon, Miss Derringer.
That's not my name.
That's the name of a gun.
But it is now.
I'm so sorry. I was thinking about a gun I might want to buy.
Alliteration.
This town is going downhill. I am just sincerely out of sorts with everything that's happened. Hopefully, this other apartment's gonna address is gonna shed some light on everything.
Hopefully, it'll give us more information than this exploded corpse.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
If you're eager for new installments of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, why wait by the radio when you can subscribe to receive the latest episodes on your favorite podcast player? What's more, you can be a part of bringing this show to life by supporting us on Patreon. We are listener-supported, and your generous contributions directly fund the production of future series. Sound design, score, actors, all made possible by fine folks just like yourself. Some folks have even subscribed to certain tiers of Patreon to become credited producers of the show. At patreon.com/omniversemedia, you'll find a wealth of Mystery Program bonus content, including outtakes, uncut gaming sessions, expanded score, and Cthulhu Cthomentary, an original podcast that dissects this show, episode by episode. Here's a clip from Divide and Conquer, where our creative team talks with Doug Banks, the performer who plays the lovable Hank Jr.
When I was trying to come up with a character to play, I didn't want to do the typical investigator, and I thought, well, let me make like a lovable dummy, like if Clark Kent didn't have any superpowers.
Yeah.
Because he's so naive, he's got that credit rating, you know, you like him. As soon as you talk to him, you're like, oh, this poor kid, he doesn't belong here. Like, and
that makes total sense for Hank. That's like exactly him.
Tonight, for your listening pleasure, I've got something new from across the pond. This is a band out of foggy old London town called Hamptons. And much to my surprise, they're performing a unique spin on Southern blues music. This track is called Riot Tonight, and it's from their self-titled debut record. I'll tell you this, folks. I don't know much about limey politics, but their band leader plays a mean mouth organ.
This is a notice to you benefit scroungers. Your weekly claim is being reduced. Don't bother complaining, you're under our boots. There's nothing you can do anyway. Hey man, riot tonight, riot tonight. Your great uncle died in a war for this, burn it all down or keep wearing your tie. Perhaps you don't know it's for the good of the nation. All of the classes are pulling their weight, and these dirty bad buggers are squatting in houses. Let's make it illegal and kick them all out on the street. Yeah, riot tonight, riot tonight. Explain his degenerate behavior before pointing his finger at me and my colleagues, who are entirely blameless for this mess that we find ourselves in. And remember that we're all in it together. We're all in it together now in our ivory tower blocks watching TV. Your son will die in a war for this, burn it all down.
Thanks for listening to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, and be sure to subscribe to our series via your favorite podcast player to get all the latest episodes. Episode 3, Divide and Conquer, was written and performed by Luke Stram, Kat Blackard, Doug Banks, Kay, Brandon Gerson, and Rule Knudsen, and is based on the Call of Cthulhu scenario, Behold the Mother, from Dead Reckonings, published by Chaosium Incorporated. The series is edited and produced by Colin Peterson and Kat Blackard, and the original score is composed and performed by Ryan McQuinn and Mike McQuinn of Neon Dolphin. Home for all your custom music needs and more, neondolphinmusic.com. For full episode credits, transcripts, as well as character sheets and other supplemental material, visit CthulhuMystery.com. This program is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Join us at patreon.com/omniversemedia. All characters appearing are fictitious, and any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This series is recorded and produced in Central Florida and Nashville, Tennessee, on lands ruthlessly taken from their indigenous people, the Timucua and Seminole, and Yuchi, Shawnee, and Cherokee, respectively. To learn more about the First Nations of the lands where you live, visit native-land.ca. This has been the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Good night.
Omniverse.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
If you love actual plays D&D, Hades, or Greek mythology and improv, be sure to check out Rogue Runners, Volume 1, In the Blood, to follow the adventures of Alexander the Great, King of Macedon, and Drunk Paladin.
Oh, sorry. I guess now I'm Alexander the Grump.
Rolf, part-time sorcerer, full-time boomer.
Is it a sex thing?
It was a sex thing!
Arete, stealthy rogue and even thirstier mobster.
Have you bathed and brought to my tent?
And Annie, legendary bard and chocolate milk fanatic. Together, these four wretched shades will battle their way out of hell for another chance at life, with a little help and hindrance from gods and monsters alike. Word of advice when you're opening up these things, you're supposed to say, Olympus, I accept this message, in some really serious voice.
Take your place among the living again.
Your tactics are adept, if too elegant for my tastes.
My dear, saying no is never a crime.
You hit like a Philistine.
You're not getting out of here alive, wretches.
A pinky promise?
A double pinky promise.
When you die, you'll have to tell me all about it.
Rogue Runners, an actual play audio drama made during the pandemic, all while maintaining proper social distancing.
And I'll follow at a 6-foot distance.
How about a 5-foot distance for D&D purposes?
Sure.
Okay.